Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. This podcast is a series of conversations centered around understanding the values, beliefs, and intentions behind leaving a legacy. You will hear from successful business owners just like yourself who want to leave an impact for generations to come. Let's get started. Welcome to the Business Legacy Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dio, and I have a very special guest, Ian Magley, founder of East Main Digital Marketer. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad to be here and looking forward to, you know, having a conversation and, you know, going through everything.
So Ian, tell us a little bit about one, your entrepreneurial background, but two, you know, what East Main Digital Marketer, how you came up with that. So kind of your origin story. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been an entrepreneur for about a little over 20 years now. I started in a small family business, and that's really where I got, you know, kind of my hands dirty in the entrepreneurial world. It's part of my blood. My whole family, grandparents and, you know, parents and everybody all own their own businesses, all small businesses. You see them really working hard and working hard for everything that they have. As I got out of college, it was up in the air as to what I was going to do as far as, you know, join kind of the family business or try to start my own path. So when I got out of college, I actually did join the family business, and I thought it was going to be for about a month or two while I kind of quote unquote found my real job. You know, the nice thing about it though is it was a really great opportunity for me to kind of really jump into the business world and do what I loved. I was a marketing major, so I was able to jump in and found out pretty quickly that my parents, they had a small bakery, incredible products. I mean, we won a ton of awards, best cheesecake in New Jersey and a bunch of other stuff that was pretty fantastic, but they weren't marketers. They weren't business on the business side of it. On the other side, I wasn't a baker. If I went into the baking, you know, into the back, the whole place would have burned down. The business would have been over very quick. It was a good mix. And I was able to build their first website. I went out on the streets and it was wholesale initially and pick up a lot of new accounts. We created our first brochure. We upped our prices. I kind of helped set up an automation from a production to delivery and, you know, a few things that really were beneficial. So actually within a couple of years, we doubled the business and, you know, we kind of hit a ceiling on the wholesale side and we ended up opening up a cafe, a bakery cafe. So we had our desserts, we roasted our own coffee, we did gelato.
What year was this when you set up the website and everything else?
So I'm going to date myself now, but 2001 is when I graduated college. And yeah. So I joined the business, you know, a few months after, probably the end of 2001, early 2002 is when I first joined the business. But I was working there, you know, since I was a little kid, but that's when I started, you know, doing that side of it. And about the end of 2004, we ended up opening our first cafe, small town, Denville, New Jersey bakery. It was kind of like a Panera Starbucks mix where, but just higher end, right? Like, but that's kind of a feel really nice. And, you know, the nice thing about it is it was in a good spot. We were able to get business pretty quickly. We had no operational, we weren't on the retail side. We were never in the restaurant business. We just took kind of our base products and opened this place up. And We struggled a bit in the beginning, especially on the operational side. We got business in, but, you know, trying to handle the staff was mostly young, you know, younger kids. And, you know, that business is a tough business. It took a while. It took about a year for us to really get a feel for what we were doing, but it still wasn't great. I mean, we did about 440, I think was our first year, 440,000. So it wasn't terrible, but definitely not where we needed it, you know, to be. And that's where I really started to look at, you know, how to put in systems, how to really look into, you know, delegating out, you know, putting a structure within the business. And the first thing I did was actually on the marketing side of it. That was my passion. Went out to a couple of events and looked into some, the marketing is very different than what you learn in college, right? Like what you're putting into play. So I was able to really adapt, put in a really nice marketing system. And then we almost doubled business within the next year, but then our operations really started to break down. Right. That's became the really tough part was now that we got new business, you know, trying to deliver, trying to keep people happy, trying to get ticket times down, trying to do our catering, all that other stuff was starting to, you know, a little bit difficult. So that was really where the systems, and that's what I'm doing a lot now in the coaching side, as well as the marketing, is implemented a true system. If you're familiar with EOS and Traction and some of the, you know, the books out there, that's what we use, the entrepreneurial operating system. And I adapted that to our business. And that's when we really took off. And, you know, I was able to get that location up to 1.1 million in revenue. I get it very profitable. And then we franchised the concept. I built the franchise operational, the manuals. I worked with the lawyers, put together the franchise system. And then, you know, it was the next journey and the next steps up, right? So we, you know, started to have to find, you know, potential franchisees, which is not an easy thing as a single location, you know, it really hasn't been proven out tremendously. So you know, we had to find somebody who was willing to take a leap of faith. And we found our first few within about a year, opened those up. And fortunately, they were successful. And we opened up about 8 other stores during about a 6 or 7 year run. So about 10 total with the bakery and the corporate store. And then in 2016, we were able to sell that. So as a family, we sold that business. And the beauty of that was what I was able to learn. I mean, I learned so much starting at such a young age, 21, starting the first cafe at 24, and spending all those years just really in the grind. You know, I mean, in that industry is totally different than anything else, you know, I think there's ever could be, right? You have such a different type of clientele, hours, your work staff, all that other stuff, right? So, you know, being able to really make that work, and then also the franchise side of it taught me so much that I was able to take into kind of the next steps of my career. First was starting up kind of a coaching business and then a digital marketing agency. And then since over the last few years, I've built up, you know, a couple of agencies, multiple agencies, worked with about 700 businesses and sold to digital marketing agencies as well.
When the growth doubled, was that growth in the cafes, or was that growth in the wholesale product? Where did that growth come from? Where was it both?
Yeah. So the first time we doubled was in the bakery, the wholesale bakery. When I say I was a small business when I got in there, it was about $330,000, $340,000 was the annual revenue. In order to even make it possible for my parents to have a salary to pay me, essentially, in that side of it, I had to make it. So that's where, you know, I went out. And so within about a year and a half, we got that up to about $650,000 in revenue. And that hit, that was where we kind of hit a ceiling. And that's where we decided to go to the retail side. But the initial growth was in the, you know, the wholesale, where we doubled that. And then in the retail, our first year was about $440,000 in the cafes. And within year three, we were about $750,000. And then in year four was $1.1 million.
What do you contribute to growth to? Like, was there any, I know there's multiple factors, but where did you identify that catalyst or that changing point?
A lot of it comes down to marketing, you know, really, but marketing is, you know, kind of a seesaw, right? You can build and bring in a lot of new business, but if you can't handle it, you know, you're just kind of going back and forth. So the initial growth was that, you know, top part of the seesaw where I put a lot into marketing and then it pushed the, you know, the operations to the brink. So when we first grew, our first initial growth was really marketing, right? Just creating, you know, promotions or really getting out there and really understanding the omnipresence approach that's necessary for restaurants. It's not just open the doors, right? Like, and especially then it was on the brink of digital marketing. So it was still a lot of getting out there. We did start picking up some catering. It was starting to do some in-store promotions. It was getting newspapers, Clipper magazines, you know, those type of things. So that was initially, but being able to create sustainable growth is really the most important part, right? And that's where the operational side of it. And that's when the first time I really put that in place was I went out to a workshop in Las Vegas. It was a restaurant expert. It was a restaurant guru. And me and my brother went out. He was part of the business as well. And it just, something clicked at that one. You know, the simplicity of the kind of the system that he had kind of portrayed and outlaid, you know, clicked. And then we were able to really take ideas to action because we tried everything. We tried to put good managers in and we tried to go off of basic stuff online. And, you know, he was able to kind of give us a path. And then we started to build upon that and really create the operational structure that allowed us to take on more customers. You know, the only way to be able to continue pushing the marketing was, you know, be able to actually, you know, provide the product and provide the, you know, the opportunity to keep people happy and coming back.
What did you learn the most working with your family? Like, what were some of the lessons that you learned along the way? Because it's not for everybody.
It's definitely not. I think we're fortunate. Number one, we're a pretty laid back family. And so, you know, we're not yellers. We're not, you know, somebody who's going to get up in each other's face. Sometimes to a fault. Maybe there were times that it's probably necessary, but you know, we're pretty laid back. So I think the biggest thing was teamwork in that regard. We're a big sports family. I actually played baseball in college as well. And I learned more from being part of a team in college than anything in the classroom. So when it came to, you know, that side of it, I mean, we were four partners, you know, so the ability to work together, understand each other's strengths, but also understand each other's weaknesses, but also each other understanding, you know, our weaknesses. Just like I said before, if I went into the kitchen or if I went into the bakery, the whole business would have went down the tubes. So that was my weakness. I was not somebody who probably should have been part of the restaurant business or food industry in some capacity. But also they masked that, right? Like my parents were great at that. My brother was a little bit of a hybrid of both. So we understood that. And then, you know, that was a really great lesson, I think, going forward is, you know, how to not just put, you know, a square peg in a round hole, you know, finding the right people for the right seats, not just saying, you know, hey, you're a general manager when they should be a kitchen manager. Mm-hmm. And same thing as I got to my digital marketing agencies is, you know, hey, you're good at SEO. I'm going to also have you do my Facebook ads. Doesn't make sense, right? So putting people in a position for success. And I think we did that as a family, you know, very well.
Now, given your background in digital marketing, and based on the 700 businesses that you've worked with, have you recognized any commonalities or common mistakes that businesses go through when either marketing or trying to develop systems?
It's the lack of systems typically, and it's really hard to do. I certainly don't want to preach here and say, you know, we were perfect and, you know, all that. It's really tough to take that step back and kind of let go of the vine, if you will, right? And trust that others will be able to do what you were doing or, you know, you think you need to do. That's what I see with, you know, owners, especially in the smaller businesses, small and medium-sized businesses, is truly letting go and being visionary, being somebody who can actually lead, not work in the business or not even manage the business. It's a really big difference between leadership and management, right? Management is really hands-on. Leadership needs to be the guide, right? And I think a lot of people who get in business, they get really caught up with the minutiae and the day-to-day. It kind of puts a lid on their business. That's what I tell actually any of my clients is, so I don't know if you know John Maxwell at all. He's got the 12 laws of leadership. And the first one is the law of the lid, right? And the first story I tell every single one of my clients in coaching or even digital marketing is take the lid off. Right. I don't know. Hopefully this is going to be okay for this particular forum, but let me tell you the story of what I tell them and hopefully it helps out because it actually helps me kind of get through the days a lot of times as well. So, and I can't recall if I told you this in the last time we spoke or not, Paul, but what I tell my clients first thing when we first start our engagement is this story about the lid, right? So you know what fleas are, right? Like, you know, if you've got, you know, fleas that are cats or dogs or whatever. So fleas, unbelievably, have a 36-inch vertical, right? So that means that they can jump the highest of any living species that doesn't fly, right? So these little fleas can jump 36 inches, jump 3 feet. It's like a human jumping onto a skyscraper. So those fleas just naturally born with that, right? You put a flea though, take it, put it into a mason jar, put the lid off. Now it can only jump 6 inches, right? It can only go up, but it still thinks it can jump 36. So it's going to bounce its head off. Then eventually it's going to learn and it's going to stop. Then you put another flea in there, right? That second flea still can jump 36 inches. All it's going to try to do is going to bounce and bounce and bounce. And it's going to see the other one only going 6 inches. And eventually it's just going to jump 6 inches and be happy with that. Now let's say those two fleas have a baby flea, right? That baby flea naturally can jump 36 inches, right? Can jump 3 feet, has a vertical of 36 inches. But it has no idea when it's born because he just sees its parents jumping 6 inches, right? So that all does is jump 6 inches because they got the lid on. They have the lid on, right? When I got back from Las Vegas and I told my team, I sat them down, we had a team meeting and I said, we're going to franchise this business. And my kitchen manager goes, I just lost 3 cooks last week. How are we going to franchise a business where we can't even get people to work for us? And my general manager says, you know, we got people walking out the door, ticket times are crazy, whatever. And I said, I don't care. We're going to franchise this business. I'm taking the lid off. And then I told them that exact story. That's how we got that buy-in. We told them that understood. I said, everything we're doing in here, when there's concerns with, you know, wait times, if we're not putting systems together, if we're frustrated, but we're not creating solutions, we're keeping the lid on, right? Anytime that we're just looking at maybe small growth, we've got the lid on. And I realized, and I was very open with them, I was the lid, right? Mm-hmm. And I think most people who go into business don't, you know, who are starting their business, don't realize that they're the lid. They've got people working for them who want to jump those 36 inches, who want to be able to make that impact. But if you don't give them the path, don't give them the opportunity to, don't give them the systems, whatever, or putting them in the wrong seat, they're going to continue to just jump their 6 inches and be happy with that because they don't know otherwise.
When you call yourself the lid, is it because you were doing too many things in the business rather than working on the business?
I wasn't leading. I wasn't providing the vision. I was providing them a job, right? I was providing them stuff to do. You know, I was providing them a checklist, right? And then I was just doing the same thing. I just had a whole big list of to-dos and I was just, you know, doing that each day, but I wasn't truly getting us to the point where we were putting band-aids on things, you know? And I see that in most of those businesses. And again, that Band-Aid is the same thing, same concept as the lid. All you're doing is just putting something on, but not letting it actually, you know, fully heal or whatever. That's how I was that lid, right? So when I came back, I made a very conscious effort to actually take in the visionary role. We had fires. We had to take two steps back in order to take steps forward, right? But that was the most important thing, is start to now provide leadership, provide guidance, not just be there to run around like a crazy person, you know, putting out fires, you know, and then just finishing my day that way.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I think it's a good, something so simple and visual, because you can kind of see the lid. It's like, okay, am I providing myself? Am I the lid? Am I the one that's holding everyone back? No. Well, one thing that's interesting about developing system is trying to listen to your employees and understanding their perspective. Now, as you were going through that growth, as you were interviewing your employees and trying to figure out what they wanted or what made them feel as though they were contributing, were there any surprises? Was there any aha moments through that process?
I think the biggest is, you know, what happens when you create accountability and stick to it. That was the biggest thing in that industry in particular. It's really hard to create account, because sometimes you just hope people show up, you know, like the shifts. Like that's how a lot of restaurants and how a lot of in the food industry, how it happens, especially when you first start off, right? So, you know, there's not no accountability if you're just hoping they're gonna show up. And if they show up, you're just happy. So creating clear priorities, creating an understanding that, you know, if you don't show up, we're gonna have somebody that is gonna replace it. Building a culture, you know, and then building that culture around accountability, that it's all a team. You know, you're only as strong as your weakest link, and making sure that goes through, and motivating, you know, people to do that, you know, what a difference that created, right? So, you know, once we started to realize that we can't just get people that we hope show up, right? We have to actually build a culture that people are going to want to be here for, right? It's called work. It's not called play. So we always know that's not going to be, you know, always enjoyable, fun. Like we can't pretend that that's the case. It's work. But if we can at least make it a place that they want to be, that they want to be a part of, they feel a part of, then it's going to go up and down, right? It's going to go up and down the ladder. And that's the leadership side of it. You know, when you're managing, you're just managing to keep the place open. When you're leading, you're giving the support, right? You're providing them the tools, you're providing them the path to succeed. And that's when we kind of turn the corner from that standpoint.
Tell me a little bit about your journey afterwards, after the Bakery is sold and everything else. Like, how did you get into digital marketing and just the overall path behind that?
Yeah. So, you know, at that point, I was still pretty young, you know, 36-ish or, you know, 35, 36. So still quite a bit out there. And my passion was always marketing, was always business growth, business development. How I wanted to pursue that, I wasn't totally sure. Initially, it was, you know, work with other restaurants, either in a marketing or coaching capacity, and help them kind of get through some of the same hurdles and break through the same ceilings that, you know, we had. And I ultimately identify, you know, a level of freedom that is very difficult to find in that business. What I found quickly, though, is that most restaurant owners don't like to spend a whole lot of money or a lot of time on fixing stuff. So it was a tough industry to kind of coach and market for. A lot of restaurant owners, it's just, you know, the margins are getting tight, and, you know, it became really tough to really get, you know, the value out of, or really get through, at least at that point, and say, hey, we can make an impact here, right? And I realized that other industries, and not necessarily just verticals in particular, but just finding the right business owners to work with, didn't necessarily need to be in one niche. What I have done, or what I did with that particular business, it resonated and it transferred over to almost all types of businesses. So initially it was a little bit of coaching. And then I realized that, you know, most businesses I was working with, they were pretty small at that point. They needed marketing, right? They needed new business in order to even pay me to do the coaching. So then it transitioned into marketing, and it grew pretty good, but it was similar to when I first started the, you know, the cafes. I had put some systems and I kind of have a base system there, but I wasn't valuing myself quite a bit enough. We were kind of, you know, scratching and clawing. Nice thing is I grew it to a point where it was an asset, right? I still put an asset together that eventually somebody found to be worthwhile. So a local, relatively local agency was a little bit bigger. I reached out and proposed to acquire the business. It was a good time. You know, it worked out quite well in that I was able to sell that and stay with them a short period of time to transition and then kind of restart, refocus, decide where I wanted to go, you know, from there. So I was able to take a lot of those lessons and build something and, you know, sell it again. From there, I started doing some consulting work again and doing that type of stuff before some of the legal agreements kind of passed and I was able to kind of get back into digital marketing and more of a focus, a different type than that they had done, the company bought me or what I had done. And this is more e-commerce. That's where we really started to build quite a bit. And that's where a lot of the businesses that I worked with of those 700, because we were just, you know, we've created a really great system, something repeatable and not just e-commerce, but, you know, it was across other industries as well. But something, that's where I really built a team, because I had learned this time in the last agency, was able to put something together that, you know, allowed me to focus on being a leader again, allowing my team, you know, giving them the tools to succeed and having really great results with our clients.
After all your experience since 2001, 2002, if you were to look back at your decisions, what would you say is the best decision you've ever made?
That's a great question. I'm not even sure if I've thought of that before. I think number one, sticking it out in the beginning, when, especially in the cafe side of it, when we first opened that cafe, I can't put into words how difficult that was. I was about 25, about to get married, bought my first house, have my first kid, and I'm running, you know, this business that we just took out big loans for. And a lot was on those shoulders. My brother was kind of back and forth between the wholesale side and the retail side. And I was focused really just on the retail, the cafe side. And, you know, I mean, 16-hour days were short days at that point. And it was just running around, just trying to figure out how to just keep this thing, you know, alive. And the last thing I wanted to do was, you know, for the family, for what I had just done, you know, and just got married and all that other stuff, is just to let this fail. So I kind of willed my way out of it. But there was many times where I easily could have just pulled the plug and we would have figured out how to pay back the loans or whatever. But that was probably, you know, from that standpoint, best decision. Kind of 1A is selling it about 6 years ago. It's such a difficult industry. My parents, unfortunately, had some health issues. To try to keep on pushing the way we had in that industry probably would have created, you know, an even more difficult situation for their health and who knows who else's health. And we had an opportunity and I'm glad we pulled the trigger on that.
Now, in contrast to that, what would you say is the worst decision you've ever made or something that shed light or humbled you?
So the one thing, I don't think I brought it up before, is we actually did, we opened up a second location before we franchised and we didn't close it down. We sold it, but we sold it at a loss. And we had, unfortunately, my father had a heart attack during that period. And that was kind of the first part of his health issues. And opening that up too quickly, that was probably the worst decision, because that set us back a while, set us back, you know, financially, emotionally, and unfortunately, health-wise. So we just jumped into that second location. You know, we kind of spread ourselves out a little bit too thin. In hindsight, learned a lot of lessons that we were able to, you know, take to the next phase. But trying to open up a whole nother location before we're ready to do so was probably the worst decision that we made.
Now, given earlier that you've talked about your family, it's in your blood as far as being an entrepreneur. When you think of legacy, two-part question, what do you think of? And then the second question is, what type of legacy do you want to leave?
To me, legacy is impact, making an impact. You know, when it comes to business, number one, I think the legacy in the food industry was, we made a lot of people happy. That's why I love marketing. Marketing is one thing, it's transformation, right? Like literally that's all anybody sells is transformation. And if you can't transform somebody's day, month, year, then your business, you know, your business is not in the place where it needs to be. But I didn't realize that initially, all we were doing was trying to just, you know, keep the business going and then grow it and then franchise it and all that stuff. But when I look back, the legacy is we won a lot of awards and we made people happy. We transformed their day. They would come into our location. We'd have a really good staff, really happy. And it was non-alcohol based, as close as it could to be like a bar. You know, people come in and they would enjoy themselves. They'd meet their friends. They'd meet their family. They would have, you know, breakfast or lunch or coffee with their kids. And we had, you know, Christmas parties there and, you know, bands and just, we made people happy. So that was the impact. We had an impact on the communities that we opened. And that's the legacy that, you know, from that standpoint, I'm most proud of. And I think that we were able to accomplish. From the digital marketing standpoint, it's very similar. Like I said, we've worked with 700 businesses. The only way you were able to work with about 700 businesses is if you make an impact, right? If you are able to help them with their business. And that's the legacy that I continue to want to focus on. It's right up on my board here. My whiteboard is to the left. It says right down there is make an impact. Because when I walk into my office every day, I look at that and I want to make sure that my sole focus, my sole vision is to make an impact. It's with my team, making sure that they're happy and I have a team that wants to be there, right? And then of course, who I'm working with, whether it's coaching or digital marketing, you know, am I making an impact on their business, on their team, and allowing them to provide a legacy for themselves?
Thank you so much for that insight. To the audience, out of the 700 businesses, are there any favorites as far as stories are concerned, success stories that you can share with the audience?
Yeah. I mean, any of the businesses, especially when I first started, you know, right now I'm fortunate in a situation where most of the businesses I work with are pretty established. They're a little bit bigger, and now we're taking them to, you know, bigger heights. More difficult time of marketing, you know, but certainly some of the most rewarding was when I first started. And I was working with businesses that were on the brink, you know, like literally, you know, potentially days away from shutting the doors. I think those are the stories of being able to help them. And I didn't save every single one, but I kept them going longer and also helped them, you know, transition out in a better fashion. That was one of the things that I wanted to make sure I focused on. But yeah, I mean, there's a company that I'd say dog grooming company. They wanted a franchise. They tried to franchise. Somebody kind of, you know, really killed them on like a fake franchise, like cost them a couple hundred thousand dollars, yeah. Right? And, you know, put together this kind of BS thing. They got sold on this, you know, this fake franchise thing. Really didn't have the legal agreements, didn't have any marketing. And they were about to go on decent business still, but they were just so in debt. So we did a mixture of marketing and coaching, and we got their main business in a really good spot, got their team really going the right way, allowed the owner, who was really like kind of all over the place, you know, be able to really focus again, make money, started to take her first vacation in like 4 years with her husband, and then got back to franchising. And now they've got 3 locations. They were literally on the brink. I mean, they're like hundreds and hundreds of thousand dollars in debt to turn that around, you know, and now have multiple locations and starting to grow again. The second part of it is during the pandemic. The pandemic, when that first hit, nobody knew what was going to happen, right? Like everybody was kind of super concerned, you know, in every direction. Nobody's been through something like that, right? And being able to work not only with the existing clients, we didn't lose from in the beginning of the pandemic, which was, I think, amazing for us, because easily could have been like, I'm not spending marketing anymore. Like, you know, I have no idea what's going on. We were able to work with everybody. Not only did we keep everybody, but we brought on a ton of new business because we were helping companies get online. A lot were in retail, right? Like they had to shut their doors. How are you going to sell anything? So we helped them get their online ordering set up, helped them set up on Amazon, on Walmart, their own e-commerce stores, whatever it might be. And again, same thing. Like we just helped a lot of people get through an unbelievably difficult situation and not have to shut their doors, and not only shut their doors, but even identify how to thrive, how to adapt and thrive through that period. I can go into specifics because there's a lot of them, but you know, I think on a general level, you know, certainly the ones where we were able to really help. If you have a business that's doing 90 million and they want to get to 150 million or 200 million, that's awesome. But they're already doing great. You know what I mean? Like it's already a good business. It's the ones that are like, hey, I don't know if I can afford you because I can't pay my customers. Hey, here's the path to get past that. And then once you do, we'll both, you know, be in good shape. And then let's really grow your business. Mm-hmm. And when we can do those, are the ones that really stick out for sure.
Now, based on that dog grooming company, you go from days away from closing to now opening up new locations. What was the biggest difference in, what was the switch? Where did they take off the lid?
It was in ownership. Without question, right off the bat. Their marketing, even though we did their marketing was pretty good. I mean, they had good revenue coming in. They couldn't handle, right? So one of the first things we did is we pulled her out. She had a really awesome manager we called. So if you're familiar with EOS integrator, right? How I kind of frame it to those who I'm working with is, you know, the visionary is the person with a lot of ideas, but if they actually had to do the action, the whole thing would fall apart, right? But the ideas are great. They're basically the person who puts the nails down. And then the integrator is a hammer and all they see is nails, right? So they're able to actually hammer those ideas home. She had an integrator. She had no idea, right? And it's really one of the hardest things to do is put an integrator in place or find an integrator. She had it there, but was making that person, she was like doing deliveries, picking up supplies, grooming the actual dogs, helping at the front desk. Like this person was all over. So we sat down with the owner and we said, let's create a true delineation between what your role is and her role is. You know, you've got the ideas. Let her, you know, kind of put those ideas home, get her out of the back, get her out of doing supplies, right? And be the person who carries it through. Once we kind of got that through, and that was taking the lid off, you know, for her, like she had the lid on that person in particular, which was then causing a lid on the rest of the business. Once she kind of saw the impact of that within, you know, probably took 2-3 weeks or so, where she's like, oh my God, we created a flow, we created a system, they changed the flow. All dogs would walk in and walk out the same spot. right? So like trying to pick up your dog, pay, it was a mess. So we actually had a side door where they used to have a doggy daycare type of thing. So we had the side door, and this was the integrator's idea, not even us. You know, she said, well, why don't we just have them pick up over here? And then that way, if we pick up over here, and that literally just little tweak made the daily operation so much tighter, allowing us to bring in, you know, start marketing and pushing it. And then it made the staff so much happier because they didn't have to go bump into 50 dogs as they were getting dropped off. And a little tweak like that, once she saw that those things can make such an impact, such a difference, then she allowed the rest of it kind of flow. Then they actually put in true operating systems and procedures. A lot of it was like cost. They had cost overruns because nobody was managing inventory, that type of stuff. And we started to kind of hammer away at that.
Well, Ian, this has been really great. I think for the audience listening, if you want to find Ian, where do we go?
Yeah. So the best place is my digital marketing website, which is eastmainco.com. And on there is the digital marketing and the kind of the general digital marketing business. The other one is helm.ceo. That's the coaching side. That's where I've been able to partner with a great coach, Josh Klenoff, who's actually a client for a long time. I actually did some implementation with him initially. And now we help install he was able to put together called the system. And so it's a basis of a lot of what I just kind of mentioned, you know, to you. And now we help other businesses who might not just need marketing or need marketing only as a piece, but they need some operational flow. So helm.ceo and eastmainco.com are the two places where you can, you know, see what we do and how we do it. And right on there is what I'd love to do. And I don't know if you've ever heard of digitalmarketer.com. So, you know, Digital Marketer is a great community, Ryan Dice and all them. So I've been a certified partner agency for a long time. And what I'd love to do in there is, anybody who's listening to this as well, I'm happy to do so. Right on my website, there's a, you know, 15 or 30 minute calendar, completely free. And what I love to do is just learn more about businesses. I've been fortunate to be able to grow and get to a spot where, you know, I'm happy to just kind of provide that knowledge to anybody who might, you know, kind of have the lid, but no idea how to take that lid off, right? And just little tweaks, you know, and a quick conversation can help out. So if anybody here, you know, would like to just book a call, I'd love to spend, you know, 15, 30 minutes. If there's something I can help you with or just having a good conversation, I'd love to do so.
Great. Well, thanks, Ian. And I hope you have a great and wonderful week.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Legacy Podcast. Now, if you can do us a favor and leave a review, any type of stars on any platform that you use, it would be greatly appreciated. For more information about us, the other co-hosts, and the Legacy Podcast, go to businesslegacypodcast.com. That's businesslegacypodcast.com. Have a great day.